Good morning, friends, and welcome to Trinity Church and to our VBS experience. You are seeing the VBS experience prepared for this week's ministry with young souls. It's going to be virtual, but we're having lots of fun with all the decorations. So our sanctuary today is decorated for Rocky Railway. Jesus pulls us through with his power. And so that's the theme that our children are going to be talking about this week. You're going to hear a lot more about it. And I guess this is the engine, so I must be the engineer today. So thanks for doubling up and understanding that I am in charge of this train, at least right here, right now. So a lot of fun we're going to have with VBS. We're glad you're here. It's great to see so many of you in the sanctuary today. Some of you first-timers, welcome. Welcome back. And certainly to our online community, we're so grateful that you're with us as well. So we are together, even though we are apart in many ways, and this is truly the day the Lord has made. We're here to rejoice and to be glad in it, to give God thanks, and to continue our sermon series about living water as we conclude our look at some of the ways that water played such a central part in the New Testament. So there's much before us, some great music. I'm excited to share it with you. And so all of that is before us. And we start with a welcome song by the Elliots. Let's watch. Thank you, girls and mom. Proves to you that we can praise God in the backyard, in the hammock, and everywhere. Let's pray. Lord God, we're grateful for another day to have awakened this morning and to have health and strength sufficient that we can worship you. We thank you, God, for each other, near and far, and for the experience we can share as we worship you on this Sabbath day. So open our hearts and minds to what you would say to us. Help us, even in these different ways, to worship you truly in our hearts and with our spirits. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the fun things we're doing throughout our COVID season in worship is finding songs, hymns, praise songs from the internet. A lot of people have created a lot of beautiful music. So we always try to have a hymn and a praise song in our online service. And this morning, we have kind of a combination. We have a great hymn of the church, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name." And now it is sung and played in kind of an upbeat way. Let's worship God as we watch.
Thank you.
Well, music is a big part of worship. And slowly, we're beginning to have some Trinity folks come back and sing and participate with us. So once again this morning, we're pleased to have Janet, Leah, and Mike from our Celebration Praise Band. And a great theme. So think about this as they sing about the importance of trusting God. Thank you so much, friends. Well, boys and girls, it's children's time at home. There's a lot of you kids who are around, so moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, get those little ones in front of the screen right now. I know that Declan, Luke, Hannah, Mitchell, Owen, Luke, and Abby are watching. I know that Sophie Forestieri is here in the house. Good to see you, honey. I also know, yes, glad to see you. Any other little souls here? And Liz and Kristen, so good to see you with a little soul who's due to join us when? 6 weeks, all right, so get ready for children's time. That's great. Okay, boys and girls, we want to talk today about something that's really, really important. Now, you know, boys and girls, you know about COVID, right? You know about coronavirus, and the reason we wear masks and the reason we have to be careful is because it's contagious. That's a big word. It's contagious. It means other people can get it from us, but you know what? There's something that's even more contagious, and we're going to take a look right now. Watch these children and see if you can think what I'm talking about. What is contagious? Let's watch.
Just like that. Ready?
Yeah.
Clap, clap, clap your hands.
Boys and girls, what was I thinking about? What's contagious in that video? It's laughter. That's right. And when one person laughs, others laugh. Were you laughing? Did you laugh, Sophie? I hope you did. I hope you did at home. A lot of people here did. Now, here's even better news, boys and girls. There's something that's even more contagious than laughter. And that is love. That's right. When we love other people, it makes them feel so good and warm and excited inside. They want to go and love others. And then they want to love others. And they want to love others. And that's how it works. Love is very contagious. So boys and girls, you be careful with COVID. Wear those masks. Do what you're supposed to do. Laugh a lot because other people will laugh. But mostly love a lot because love is very contagious. And that's a beautiful thing. Well, boys and girls, I hope you have a happy, safe week. And I hope to see you in church next week. God bless you. Well, friends, we continue our theme of children now, as Vacation Bible School is indeed soon to begin. Within hours, some 95 children who are registered for a virtual online Vacation Bible School experience will begin having the great joy of learning that Jesus' power pulls us through. And that theme has been developed over the last several months. Teams of folks have worked, 42 volunteers. Take a look at the list of volunteers on the screen. These folks have been laboring a long time. Sure, are we disappointed it can't be in person? Yeah, but we're really excited about how much is going to happen. There's going to be live streaming every evening from 6:30 to 7:15. Lots of songs and teachings and dancing and other fun things have been recorded. So our kids are going to have a great, great experience. Now here in the sanctuary with us are some of the folks who will be volunteering. Typically, we have as many as 30 or 40 or 50 people here, and we pray for them because they are going to be dedicated to their task of serving in VBS. Well, we have a few here today. And those at home, we're praying for them as well. So we have some folks here, and we just want you and you at home to join us in praying, blessing these folks as they lead our young souls in a great week of Christian nurture. So let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for children and for the opportunity you give us as the church to help form their faith. And God, I pray that you will bless this VBS team, that you will use them in special and unique ways to reach out and to touch the lives of these young souls. May this theme of Jesus' power completely embrace all of our children. May they come to understand through song and teaching and word and art that Jesus does pull us through with his power. So bless these leaders. Thank you for their devotion and dedication. And may they be useful instruments of you as they do this great work. We pray for them in Jesus' name. Amen. And now, folks here as well as at home, would you say thank you in our customary way for their service? Thanks, God. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm loving this train up here, and I'm very pleased to be here on this special VBS Sunday Dedication Day. As we begin our time of prayer this morning, I invite those of you who are at home and participating in our service online to submit those names, the first names of those that you would like to hold in prayer and for us to lift up this morning on the comment section of the Facebook page. And for those of you who are listening at home by phone, submit your prayers by text or email or by calling the church office. And for those of you present in our sanctuary this morning, there are prayer cards in the pew, so please fill those out as you desire and place them in the basket, the prayer request basket by the door. And throughout the prayer this morning, I encourage everybody to lift up any names that come to your heart and your mind as we're praying together. As we all know, our prayer is a two-way conversation between ourselves and God. And it's a time when we go to God with our thoughts and feelings, our hopes, our concerns, our fears, anxieties, and joys. It's also a time when we need to be listening to God and to what God wants to share with us. So as we enter our time of prayer this morning, center your focus not just on the words of the prayer, but also on what God might be saying to you, how God might be nudging you or moving your heart this morning. Let us now go to God in prayer. Good and gracious God, as we embrace this new summer day and the beginning of a perennial Trinity summer staple, Vacation Bible School, we give you thanks and praise for the diverse and wonderful gifts and talents that you have given to each one of us. And we thank you for the daily opportunities we have to serve you and to share your love with others. And yet in the midst of the joy of serving you, Lord, we continue to find ourselves heavily burdened by events in our world. We pray for all who are being affected by the coronavirus, for those who are ill or isolated or lonely because of the virus. We pray for healing, for healthcare workers, first responders, caregivers, scientists, researchers, and all in the medical field. We pray for knowledge, health, and endurance. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for students, teachers, administrators, and parents who are looking for guidance, wisdom, and strength for the decisions that need to be made about the coming school year. Lord, hear this prayer. We pray for wisdom and discernment for all who are in positions of leadership throughout our nation at this time. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray for comfort and peace for those who are vulnerable and fearful, for those who are critically ill and dying, and for those who are mourning the loss of a loved one. Lord, hear this prayer. We pray for direction and hope for those who have lost jobs or find themselves in difficult financial situations. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray that justice, equity, and love will prevail in those parts of our society where injustice and inequality have taken root. Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, we confess that we are often very quick to let you know about our thoughts, concerns, and distress, and not as quick to take the time and effort to hear your part of the conversation. Forgive us. Let our hearts and minds be constantly open for your nudges and leadings. For we know that you may be speaking to us right here in this space this morning, or you may be speaking to us while we're talking with a neighbor, or doing errands, or grocery shopping. Wherever and whenever we hear you speaking to us, give us the faith, the strength, and the boldness to follow you. Faithful God, when we falter or struggle, let us hear you loudly proclaim that we can always trust in you. You are all that we need. Your power will pull us through. Loving God, hear the prayers of our hearts and the longings of our souls. God of comfort and peace, Be with us in these uncertain times to provide us with inner calmness and clarity of vision. God of hope, remind us of your promises and your love for all of your children. And as a faith community, let us now join our hearts and voices together to pray the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. This morning's New Testament reading is from the book of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on the mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." These are the words of the Lord.
Have you ever been really afraid and couldn't do anything about it? Many years ago, our family took a vacation in Colorado. It was at a timeshare, and lots of things were offered as activities, and one of them was the opportunity to go up in a hot air balloon for a very low price. Now, I then and now am somewhat afraid of heights. So why I ever said sure is really beyond me. Next thing I know, there are five of us heading out to the balloon launch area. With five, we couldn't all be in one basket or balloon, so two of my daughters were with me. And we got into the balloon. Now, I always thought that the balloon, hot air balloon baskets were about up to your neck. They're about up to your thigh. Maybe you've been in one. So very tentatively, I climbed in with my two little girls. One of them is here. I didn't mention Angela. Do you remember this? Angela is with us visiting. So we got in, and it was me and two of the girls, and I am just scared to death. So I immediately tell the young man, and by the way, he was much too young to be piloting a hot air balloon to 2,000 feet. I immediately said, "The children are a little scared, so we can't go too high." I don't know if he read right through me. It made me feel just a tad better, and off we went. So up we go, and I'm holding on for dear life. Notice, I'm holding on for dear life, not particularly concerned with my two little girls who are having the time of their life, looking out, wondering, this is great. And then I look over at this young man and realize that our lives are in his hands. I've never met this young man. The best way to describe him was he was a dude. And this was just something he did probably for a summer vacation job. So I thought, perhaps if I talk to him and develop a relationship, you know, he'll be a little nice and be extra good as a balloon pilot. So I said, "What's your name?" And he told me. And I started talking to him. And we're 2,000 feet up now. And everything is very small below. And I'm feeling quite nervous. My kids are happy as clams. And I start a conversation and he starts talking back. And then he hops up and sits on the edge of the basket, holding on to one rope. And his other hand, as you may know, is pulling down so that the gas goes up and the fire continues, and I'm just standing there frozen in fear. We have a nice rest of the ride, and as we start to come down, he then says, "Hold on, this could get bumpy." So I ask you, have you ever been really afraid and couldn't do anything about it? And that was one of my moments. Today we're thinking about living waters and about the moments in the Bible where water is a central theme of God's plan. We looked at baptism, we looked at the woman at the well, and today we look at Jesus walking on the water. It's a great story. It's an important story filled with messages for all of us. So the text begins with Jesus just having finished feeding the 5,000. He has done this miracle. People have been crowding around him all day long. And he needs a break. Often the Bible reports that Jesus, after his ministry, pulled away and went to be with his heavenly Father for prayer and meditation. And so that's what he does. And he sends his disciples off. He says, "You go across the lake. I'll join you later. And I need to be alone." Disciples leave, they go down to the boat, they start across. Jesus goes further up into the mountain where he will quench the thirst of his soul in prayer as he connects with his heavenly Father, preparing himself for the next challenges in his ministry. He is alone, quiet, and all is well. And the disciples are starting across the lake. Then the disciples encounter a common storm on the Sea of Galilee, storms that regularly would come up as the winds crash down over the great cliffs on the westerly side. And as these winds come, the waves pick up. Storms are very common. And Matthew tells us that the storm got so bad that the disciples became very, very afraid and they couldn't do anything about it. The wind was against them, so the sail wouldn't work. It was cloudy, so the stars couldn't guide them. The waves were beating and tossing this boat, and they knew that often people died when boats capsized, especially at night on the Sea of Galilee. And they were afraid, and they couldn't do anything about it. I also think they might have been just a little angry. I think they might have been just a little angry that Jesus had sent them off and left them alone. Now, he didn't know a storm necessarily was going to come up, but he wasn't there. He was their leader. And right now, they needed Jesus, and he was not there. And I rather imagine some one of them said, "Great, just when we need him, he's not here." Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever gotten bad news? Have you ever had a crisis? Have you ever had a health issue? Have you ever felt lost, lonely, like the storm of life is crashing over, and you look around and you wonder real quickly, "So where are you, God?" A lot of people, including me, have had those moments. And they do come. And we do look. And sometimes it's hard to see Jesus. Where is God in all of this? Some people ask. Right now, whatever your storm might be, some are asking, "So where's God in this? It is so bad. Where are you, God? Why are you letting this happen?" A lot of people have felt that way, and maybe you. So Jesus looks down from the hills and can see what is happening to his friends. And he knows they need him. He knows they're afraid. He knows they feel endangered. And he goes to them. You see, that's what God does. God knows your fear. God knows your trial. God knows what you're going through. And that is the nature of our Heavenly Father, the God who comes. This God, this Jesus, comes down to the lake. And when he gets there, he walks across the water. After all, it's God. And the disciples aren't sure who he is. They say, it's a ghost. And Jesus then performs his miracle. He reveals himself and does two things that we focus on today. The first thing that Jesus does is to identify himself and say, I am here with you. Christ comes into the midst of the storm with them. That is the very nature of our Heavenly Father. And you need to remember that Christianity, our faith, is unique in all of the world's faiths in this matter. Because we understand and know and believe that God is a God who comes to us. Christmas, sometimes, is such a routine celebration for us. The baby in Bethlehem, and we know all the stories and routines. But the incredible miracle is that the God who came in the baby of Bethlehem is the God who initiates this relationship with us, and that exists in no other world religion. You do not find anything comparable in Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, or Judaism, or any of the other minor world religions. Only in our faith do we know and believe that God came to us, and in so coming, initiates this relationship with us to reveal a purpose and a plan. God knows your storm, and God comes into the midst of it. Once a family was vacationing out west, they flew out to Denver and they rented a car and they went and saw lots of the sights, including they came to the Arkansas River and the Royal Gorge Bridge. Anyone ever been to the Royal Gorge Bridge? There you are, Rob. Well, this bridge is high, 1,000 feet over the Arkansas River, and it's a suspension bridge and it swings a little bit. But cars can go across it. So this family arrives there, and the father, I can identify, is a little fearful of heights, so he pauses before he starts driving. The whole family gets out of the car, this rental car that they have brought from Denver, and he stands there and he watches a car go past them, and as the car goes onto this bridge, he sees the bridge moves a little bit. And the father says, that's it. I'm not willing to take this car over the bridge. And his teenage daughter says, what's wrong, Dad? It's a rental. Well, she obviously didn't understand his fears. But God does understand your fears. That is the nature of a Heavenly Father who comes to us in Jesus, who understands because Jesus was fully human, fully divine, and in so understanding, knows what your storm is like. And yet they didn't recognize. These disciples were so afraid, their eyesight was diminished. That's right. Now, sure, the storm was going on and it was dark, but listen to what scientists tell us happens to our eyesight when we are afraid. The research says when we're afraid, we perceive some aspects of the world more clearly, but at a cost of ignoring much of the detail. When we are afraid, we don't see as well. You know what that's like. Sometimes when you're afraid, sometimes when your storm is terrifying you, all you can see is this one thing that's in front of you, and all the other things, including God, seem to be lost in the periphery. But God is still there. And when Jesus comes to them, he says, take courage. It's me. It's me. Don't be afraid. It's me. This is the God who came in Bethlehem. This is the God who came to their storm. Once two boys grew up together, best friends on the street. They went to school all together, and after high school they joined the military. After all, the war, World War II, was just breaking out. And so they went in the same company, the same division, and throughout their military career for almost a year they were together. And finally, they were deployed together into the field of battle. These two boys, Jay and Timmy, were inseparable, and yet now, under threat of death, during war, in the battle, everything was on the line. And Timmy got shot. Timmy was in the middle of a battlefield. Others had retreated, including his best friend, Jay. But Jay said, "I've got to go see Timmy. I've got to go check on him." That's how close they were. He said to his commanding officer, "Can I crawl out onto the field and bring him back?" "No, no, I won't let you do it. It'll just cost you your life." And Jay said, "No, I've got to." And ignoring his orders, he crawled out into the middle of the battlefield where Timmy lay wounded. And when Jay arrived, the first words out of Timmy's mouth were, "Jay, I knew you would come." You can be sure that God will come into your storm. Even if you cannot see for a while, you can be sure that God will come in your storm. That is the promise of the scripture. Jesus comes. But the second thing that happened that night on the Sea of Galilee is equally important. Because it's Peter, audacious, loudmouth Peter, who says, "If that's really you, tell me to come out. Bid me to come out. I'll walk on the water too." And Jesus, I'm sure, snickering a little bit, says, "Okay, Peter, if you think you can, come on." And Peter walks on the water toward Jesus. The storm's still going on. But Peter is walking on the water. Until when? He looks at the waves. He feels the strength of the terrifying wind. He takes his eye off Jesus and he begins to sink. And in so doing, Jesus says, "Why did you doubt?" And he lifts him up to safety. Why did you doubt? Several years ago, when Snow White, the movie, first came out, in a much more innocent time, two little girls were talking about how excited they were to go to the movies with their fathers to see Snow White. But the one little girl who had already been there said to this other little girl, "So you're going to see Snow White?" "Yes," said the little girl, all excited. "But what are you going to do? The Wicked Witch is so scary." And the little girl said, "Oh, I have already figured that out. Whenever the Wicked Witch comes on the screen, I'm just going to look at my father." Whenever the storm comes, we look at our Heavenly Father. And when we do, we can also walk on water. Friends, life is a sacred partnership between ourselves, created in the image of God, and our Heavenly Father. Jesus could have said to Peter, "No, Peter, you stay in the boat. I'm not going to let you walk. I got this." And he did. But if we are, as we understand ourselves to be, disciples who try to be more and more like Jesus, then Jesus wants you, wants me, wants us to walk on that water, walk into that storm. And the way we do it is to keep our eye on Christ, who is right there, whether we see him or not. In VBS this coming week, our children will sing a song. I've been listening to the songs in preparation. My grandchildren are here. They're going to take part. And one of the songs says, "The power that calmed the storm lives in us. The power that calmed the storm lives in us." And that is truth. The spiritual power that God gives is available to you to walk through the storm. And Jesus says, "Come on. The storm's tough, but get out of the boat, walk into that storm. I'm with you, and you can do it." And that means that whatever your storm may be, discouragement, depression, divorce, you can walk through it. whatever the storm may be, cancer, broken relationships, broken heart, broken finances, you can walk through that storm. Whether it's fear or frustration, whatever that storm is, you can walk through it because that's God's intent, to empower you with Christ to be able to walk through the storm and to walk on water. That's God's plan, and you can do that. You can do that. Three girls were walking along a path when a visitor surprised them. Take a look at this video of this unexpected visitor and these three high school-aged girls, and watch carefully what happens. So they've been walking on this path, and a bear walks up to them and begins to check them out. They stand still. The bear is just innocently checking them out, and they stand still. They think their adventure is over, but not quite yet. They stand still, and the one girl looks at the camera, and then the bear leaves, and the adventure is over. Do you think those girls were terrified? Of course. Incredibly afraid. And yet, they had the courage to stand still. What you don't know is that off camera, their father was telling them to stay still, to not move. At one point, the girl looks at the camera, looks at her father, who is saying in a European accent, which is why we didn't share it with you, because we don't know exactly the words, but he was saying, "Be still." That's what it's like in our storms. When the terrifying moments come, keep your eye on Jesus. He's there. And know that fear turns into courage through prayer, and that you can walk on water. Let's pray. Lord God, the way you have made life sometimes is confusing to us, for there are many storms. But we also know by the power of your Holy Spirit and through your word and through Jesus that it is these very storms, God, that strengthen our faith, that draw us closer to you, and that help us to become more and more the disciples of Christ you want us to be. So God, guide us through the storms and help us to know deep within that even in the worst of the storms, you are there and you empower us to walk on water. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Well, friends, in your hands, if you are here in the sanctuary, at home, if you have the bulletin that you've printed off, are a few of the announcements and Just Say Yes items about our congregational ministry. Please check the website on a regular basis. We want you to know what's happening at Trinity. Just a couple of items to lift up right now. It's not too late, even though VBS starts tomorrow, if you know of a young person or anyone who would like to participate as a volunteer or as a student, it's not too late. Call the church office tomorrow morning and they can participate, as we said earlier. An amazing 95 young souls are registered, 47 adult and youth volunteers. It's going to bless a lot of people. It's not too late. We're very grateful, especially to our technology team, because that team is making so much of VBS possible in this virtual experience. Also, an announcement that there's a job opportunity here in the congregation as we're looking for an e-commerce coordinator to work in the thrift shop. They'll work with the thrift shop team, spending time on online sales of items as well as in the shop. And the deadline for applications is July 31st. If you or someone you know might be interested looking for this full-time position. And also, we continue to collect blankets for UNTO. We recently delivered 113 of them, but the collection and the offering continues. So if you have a twin blanket that you'd like to offer to this blanket drive, bring them to the church office porch. They will be delivered occasionally to the UNTO office in Pennsylvania. And also a reminder that in August, we have a very special sermon series that I hope you'll tend to. It's called Christian Family Matters. We're going to spend 4 weeks looking at the scriptures and talking about what a Christian family looks like and what strengthens a Christian family. So I hope you'll take note, invite others to join us online or in person at our worship services as this sermon series begins to unfold starting next week. Our offering this morning for you in person here in the sanctuary is to be given as you leave the sanctuary, placing your gifts in the basket. Our online congregation, as usual, we ask that you continue to email or text or in other ways send in electronically or by USPS your offerings. Together, friends, we are seeing our way through this COVID crisis. All churches everywhere are struggling financially. You understand why. You and we have been especially helpful in regularly giving tithes and offerings so that our ministry continues. Submission is slowly beginning to return. So thank you, thank you, thank you for your continuing financial gifts. We want to share with you a lovely song now. The hymn, How Great Thou Art, is just deeply rooted in all of our souls. We sing it often here. So enjoy now this version of How Great Thou Art by a group called...
stars, I hear the rolling thunder.
What a beautiful rendition of a great, great hymn. We share some good news with you now as worship ends. We always like to let you know that God continues to do wonderful things in and through this congregation and its people. The good news this morning includes the fact that our Green Drop partner has continued to be in ministry. They just came back to us for the first time. Green Drop is one of our second market participants with the thrift shop. So we collect a lot of things, but we can't sell all things. So we then send them and give them to Green Drop. This is an organization that takes items from a wide variety of shops like ours and resells them elsewhere with monies going to the American Red Cross, the Military Order of the Purple Heart, the National Federation of the Blind, the Society of St. Vincent de Paul, a Catholic organization. So they are back. They came last week with their truck. And now, more and more, we can bless other people through the donations that were given to the thrift shop. And what is that? Good news. Thanks be to God. Also, we want you to know that another of our mission partners is continuing to serve with us. Midnight Run is that organization that invites us to go to New York City once a month. Not doing that now, but we have so many things we want to share, and some people are going to the city. So this past week, Joe and Nancy DeWitt took a lot of items from our supplies to Dobbs Ferry, New York, bags of toiletries, new undershirts, underwear, and summer crew socks. These were taken and delivered to the headquarters, and they will make their way to the homeless in New York City sometime in the near future. So we're personally not going, but the things that we're collecting are going. And that is what? That is good news. And finally, we're happy to report that a few more on-site activities, in-person activities are happening. And so our fourth and fifth grade fellowship had a tie-dye activity recently. They came together, thanks to Melissa Browns, and four different families with eight people came together to make tie-dye t-shirts and have great fellowship and fun. It's so important, more and more, for us to be able to see and be with each other. So that is what? That is good news. Well, I hope your toes are still awake because I want them to be tapping now for our final song. It's Every Praise. So with your heart and with your soul, even though not with your lips, let's praise God. Amen. Well, remember that our passing of the peace happens now as we go from this place. So as you go and wherever you go, remember that your task is to share the love and the word of Jesus Christ with all. Text, email, call somebody up. Tell them, I went to church today and I want to pass the peace of God to you because that's what I received in worship. And now, as we do go, remember this truth, that wherever you go and whatever may happen to you and whatever storm you may encounter, that the blessing of God revealed to us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that blessing in God's eternal presence, always and everywhere, will be with you. That is truth. So go in peace. Amen. And we affirm, here I am, Lord.